welcome to Kathy Dolan, My Trainer Life podcast. I'm so excited to have you. Today, we're celebrating strong moms everywhere. When you join my podcast and you listen to my episodes, I work really hard on bringing you all the latest things in health, fitness, and happiness. Today, again, I'm super excited to bring you three special guests. On today's podcast, we're going to give you tips and stories and sharing the common thread all of us know as being moms. Being a mom can be a marathon and a vacation, but it's a lifelong job. Pain and joy, love and more love. Hey, if you're listening in real time today, we are celebrating Mother's Day on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. For me, I'm so excited just to have my family together. It's not about presents, it's just about presence, right? Being together. I so look forward to that. Today, I bring you three moms that represent every stage of mothering. We have Jan, Pam, and Rhea. I think between the four of us, we have kids of all ages, and we even have a grandmother here today, Jan, full of wisdom. Our kids range in age from elementary, teen, and post-college. We like to start the podcast with gains and losses. I'm going to put my guests a little bit on the spot. I'm going to ask you to think about today, a rose and a thorn of your day, a gain and a loss of today, something that happened. So as we go around to each of our guests, I'll just ask you to introduce yourself, say a little something about yourself, and give me a gain or loss for today. Let's start with Rhea. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. Okay, my name is Rhea. I have been in the fitness industry for 20 plus some years. I am a mom of two little ones, 7 and 4. And my win today is nobody cried today.
Yay.
Nobody had a breakdown today. We had a good day. We made it through online school and everyone had a good day.
That's a win.
That is a huge win. I'm so sorry. What was the other question you asked?
A loss or a thorn?
Oh, I don't know if this is a loss, but I gave my kids too much chocolate today. So
that's
more
okay.
Than normal. I'm just like, oh, just have the second Oreo. Oh, you want a third one? Sure. It's Friday today. Oh.
I love it. True momming. And then tell us a little something about yourself.
Let's see. I come from a big fat Greek family, just like the movie. That is my life. That is my family. I do love them, but it is a big fat Greek family with all of the fun and crazy that's involved of it. I live in Costa Rica with my husband, who comes from a big Latin Italian family. So between the two families, there is a lot of food, a lot of talking, and a lot of crazy, but I absolutely love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I used to travel a lot before having kids, and then realizing that, you know, that whole, oh, I want to travel for work thing. You have kids, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't want to leave them. Yeah. And I want to be home. I want to be there for every single thing. And I've been very blessed that I've been able to work from home.
Okay, I think we lost Rhea for a second there. I think she might have tapped her phone. But let's go over to Jan and let's hear about Jan's rose and thorn for the day and a little bit about yourself. And Rhea, we'll come right back to you here shortly.
Okay, I guess I'm representing the senior citizen contingent. I'm the grandmother. I have children in their 50s, and my rose today was I got to go play with my grandsons, and my thorn probably is, much like Rhea's, that we had lunch at this wonderful diner in Maine, and I had the best blueberry pancakes I've ever had.
Oh my God.
They were delicious, but probably shouldn't have had, but they were good. So
Sounds delicious. Sounds delicious. All right. Anything else you want to tell people about you? Like what kind of career and what's your retirement like?
I'm a retired teacher. Mm-hmm. I lived in California for almost 50 years. and have now moved and to Maine, and we're living in a cabin on a lake. Oh. And it's flat out gorgeous, and we're loving every minute of it, even though we're stuck here with COVID. We haven't killed each other yet, so I think we're doing good.
It is gorgeous for sure. That is for sure. Well, welcome, Strong Mom and Grandma Jan. We're so happy to have you. Let's move over to Pam.
Hi, I'm Pam.
Hi.
And I'm the mother of two daughters. 27 is my youngest, Amy, and 31, my oldest, Jordy. Both have been recently married in the last year and a half. I work for Mammoth Mountain. I love the outdoors. I love my mountain environment. Let's see, my gains.
Yay, gains.
My gains. So my older daughter married a Canadian, and he just got his permanent resident card, which is a big positive.
Congratulations.
Thing. Yeah, that was really exciting. And as far as a thorn, for the day, I guess it really revolves more around work and the depleting snow that's going quick and us having to alter plans in a work related environment.
But yeah.
But other than that, it really, don't really have any other thorns.
Well, let me ask you girls this, and I think I kind of know the answer. Whenever I do this every week, my daughter, you know, she's like, Mom, you can't think of a thorn. Like, I think it's really a mindset, right? And we need a whole nother podcast on that. But I really have to rack my brain. And she'll go, that's not a loss. And so, like, anyway, thank you for coming up with that. But doesn't that challenge our thinking a little bit, right?
It does, yes.
Yeah.
All
right, well, taking care of ourselves is part of taking care of our kids and our grandkids, right? I train people, and that is one of the big motivators, is I want to be here for my grandkids. I want to be present for my little ones. Strong moms are the key to a healthy society. Strong moms who find strength mentally, physically, and spiritually. Strength in motherhood means that strong moms do take their motherly obligations as not an excuse to ignore a healthy lifestyle. And ultimately, we want to take the strength in motherhood and involve our children, involve our husbands, involve all these healthy choices as a family. So role modeling is super important. And I'm speaking to two moms here with kids in college and grandkids, and I'm speaking to a mom with young ones. Believe you me, they follow you. They learn more by what you're doing than what you're saying. So let's start with our own moms. Our own moms came from a totally different generation. And I often wonder, my loss for today, by the way, is today is the day I lost my mom. So I find it so ironic that I'm sitting on here with three amazing women, myself included. I consider myself a strong mom, a strong single mom. And I find it a little ironic that I'm sitting here speaking of strong moms. And I often wonder what my mom would say and advice give me going through a quarantine that none of us have gone through before as mothers. And I can't imagine, Rhea, with her little ones, you know, the conversations you had to have with them. I know the conversations I've had to have with my teen. It's been very, very difficult. So I do wonder what her advice would be to me. But for you ladies, what are some of your best memories of your mom? And what is the best advice she gave you as a mother? Who wants to go first?
My mom was mother to five children, all very close in age. So she was a very busy mom. But when I think back, her best advice to me was go outside and play.
Ah, yes. I heard that too.
Yeah.
That's great.
I appreciate that just because, you know, we spent a lot of time outside enjoying one another within our family and neighbor friends and making up games and ball games and lots of stuff like that. And I think that really has stayed with me my entire life.
Very good. Let's go to Jan.
Okay. Well, I think that my mom's best memories that I have with her were the summers that we spent here at the camp. I would come from California and I'd bring her up to the camp after my dad died, and we would spend the whole summer together here. And that was some real, and that's the reason we actually bought the camp, was so that I could spend more time with my mom and my dad. And so that probably is my best thing. And the best advice, besides being out of the house, we didn't even have TV when I was little, we were always out, is be your best self.
Be your best self. I like that. Yes, always. Yeah. All right, let's go to Rhea.
I am blessed that I still have my mom. She's 82, but she's still kicking with us. And she, let's see, honestly, as a kid, she would always, kind of like you, Pam, she would like go outside and play. Like, get out of the house, go and run. Get dirty, come wash your hands when you come in. Mm-hmm. But she was very much like, go outside, along with remember where you came from. So remember your family, remember your heritage, remember that these are your roots. And so that was very, very big for us, of remember your family. And some of the best advice she said is, she's like, you can do anything. Anything you put your mind to, just believe in yourself and you can do it.
Yeah.
And that was her thing. She was like, you don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to go and do all these things. But she was like, you can do anything you want.
Right. Yeah. So creating that environment, raising your children that they can be anything they want. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I think Jan and I talked about this the other day, being really careful not to influence them. You know, I kind of feel like we want to just give them lots of options and choices and let them make the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good. All right, let's go to, I would like you to come up with three words, verbs that best describe you as a mom and a grandma, Jan. So we'll start with Rhea. I know it's like on the spot thinking.
I know. I would say funny. Strict. I'm not going to even deny that one. Funny, strict, spontaneous.
So in your kid's mind, you're strict. That means you're mean, right?
Sometimes.
I'm kidding. And you're going to see sometimes. Where I tie this. You'll see where I tie this in later on, but that's funny. No, you know, you're a good mom when your kids say you're mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, Jan.
Different sets for my children and my grandchildren. We have another okay. whole set of values with grandchildren than you do with your own grandchildren. So completely different. As a grandma, I'm fun and funny, and I'm the frosting on the cake. And as a mom, I would say I was probably strict. What else? Tough and practical.
I like it. Really do. Let's go to Pam.
So are these three words describing how we mothered our children?
Yes. Describe you as a mom.
Okay. Organized. Sincere. You know, when I said something, I meant it. I guess that's the same as strict.
Yeah.
let's see, what else? Just athletic, I guess. I did a lot of things with my girls.
Very good.
Right from living on a sailboat, sailing up through, you know, moving to the mountains and all these outdoor activities.
Right. So. Well, I'm with you girls on strict. My kids definitely think I'm the strict mom on the block. I'm definitely active, like Pam. We're a very active family, always have been. Yeah, my kids to this day talk about, I have two older boys and a teen, and my two older boys oh, they just won't let me forget that I kicked them out of the house till 5:30 at night. And then I would say humor, funny. We do a lot of, you know, laughing in our home, because what else are you going to do when you're in, you know, tough times? You laugh, right? So very good. Well, I'm sure there were times that in your fitness life, that there were times that you probably felt it was impossible to stay fit and care for kids. So thinking back to those times, describe the times and how you managed your way through those times. Because as a fitness coach and a health coach, I'm sure Rhea hears this too, the big block for everybody coming on to getting into the lifestyles, I don't have time. I feel guilty. I'm a mom. I can't come to the gym for an hour at night because I have kids, or so on and so on. So let me hear you guys going through that time where it felt impossible to take care of yourself. Who wants to go first? Jan, and I'm kind of thinking, and I don't know if you want to share this, but you have shared with me, I think there are so many women listening today that are going to relate if you tell the story I think you're going to tell.
It started out, I joined the club, was very active playing racquetball and doing all that. And my son in junior high said, "Mom, you're always at the club at night." And so I said, "Okay," quit going to the club and quit working out for 20 years. And during that time, my thyroid went crazy or died. And I gained about 40 pounds, not knowing why, had no energy, was a mess. And I actually retired because I was too tired to work. And when I finally figured out what was wrong and got on the right medication, I ended up losing all that weight, having enough energy, and I got my whole life totally back again. Totally amazing transformation. People didn't even recognize me after I had the right medicine and started working out, and have been working out ever since.
That is such a powerful thing. And again, if I have any listeners out there who feel dog tired, who feel like you can't, there, we need to dive deeper. And nothing's more frustrating than, you know, eating right and trying to do all the things that we have to do as moms and not have the energy. I remember Jan telling me this story where she would come home from work and literally lay on her bed till it was time to make dinner.
True. Okay.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. My fingers were crossed you would share that one. Okay, let's go to Jan or Pam.
Okay, so my kids were born when I was 31 and 35. My husband was a fireman. We moved to Mammoth, and he commuted out of Mammoth down to Orange County for the last 12 years of his career. So that meant I was essentially a full-time single mom, 20 days a month. And, you know, just slowly but surely I got wrapped up in their world, my children's world. And, you know, when my husband came home and was willing, you know, very willing to look after the kids, I'd go off on a bike ride, but it was never quite enough, you know, for an active fitness person like I wanted to be. But I think it was really more just being drawn into, and as the girls got into soccer, I was actually their Girl Scout troop leader and soccer coach for them, and those things took a lot of time. Exactly. Took a lot of time, and I know it sounds, you know, like an excuse, but it wasn't until my girls were so they were very active ski racers and started developing their own fitness lifestyle through ski racing that I realized that it's time for mom to get back into it as well.
Yay.
And that was kind of my, the shove that I needed just to be more consistent.
And can I tell our listeners, I use Pam a lot in my stories. I'm sure Rhea, you've seen Pam on my stories. She has made up for lost time, people. This girl is unbelievably fit and dedicated. And so if you're in the midst of raising kids and you're just trying to squeeze in, go coach the soccer team and stuff, keep trying, right, Pam? Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself.
Yeah.
Good story. Rhea, let's hear your.
Well, having little ones still at the moment, I was able just to tie them on me, or my husband would put them in a backpack and let's go. We're going for a walk, throw them in the stroller. And to this day, I will still walk to pick one at their kinder just to make sure that I am moving. I get up at 4:30, have my me time to just, nobody's calling mommy. I love them, but sometimes mommy doesn't want to be called mommy and I just need to be quiet. And so then I get my workout in around 5:30 in the morning. And the interesting thing is when you talk about weight, so I'm 46 and I'm noticing my hormones are changing. And the weight isn't going, it's not going down, it's going up. And so at the moment, I'm actually working with a hormone coach because I don't want my daughter to see me say, I'm not going to eat a slice of pizza. You know, I don't want her to see that. I want her to see, look, mommy's active. She goes out and rides her bike with my husband. And we're very active. No, we don't sleep in on the weekends. Let's go, everybody. Up, we're going for a walk, we're going hiking, we're doing something and making them go like, we get to do this. Look how fun this is that I make the exercise and the lifestyle. She sees my husband and I doing yoga together. So they just see it like this is normal, you know? And she woke up this morning at 5:30, got her clothes on and was like, Daddy, let's go biking. And for me, that was like, that was gold. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I'm doing something right, I think, right now.
Yes. Yes. Good, good deal. And I like that you get up at 4:30 in the morning and just have that quiet time, that maybe a cup of coffee or tea and the house is quiet. Yes. Getting up early and stealing that time.
You know, my coffee. Very healthy. My coffee's hot at 4:30. It doesn't sit there and then I forget that I had it. And then I drink cold coffee.
Yes.
So I get to actually have the hot coffee at 4:30.
Moms can relate. I'm sure moms out there can hear you. So we'll kind of combine these two. How can you be your own motivation when you really don't want to exercise? And fast forward, Jan, you're a grandma. And I'm going to share the little story where you sent me a text and said, no workout today. Grandkids are here. You know, isn't that fun, right? How you can be your own motivation and how you build in time for yourself when it feels impossible. So Rhea kind of just gave us that answer already. I love that. So we'll skip to the next one, which is how important is community to you girls, you moms, and how has it helped you? How is it helping you now, today, with staying with your fitness through community, through self-motivation? So let's start with Pam on that one. How's that?
Okay. Good. Sure. Yeah. Community is important. I don't think it's everything, but it is important in the sense that I like to involve myself with like-minded people. Doing the same things I do. I don't stay out late. I'm with Rhea. I'm also get up at 4:30 kind of person because I have to be at work. And that time that I get to work out is before work. But being surrounded by people that like to do the same things I like to do, seeing women lift weights is also quite a good motivator to me because I did grow up in an era where it was almost frowned upon seeing women in a gym. You know, I might be giving away my age a little bit, but yeah, sorry, Jan, I know. But, you know, I mean, there was this sense that I had as a kid that, you know, it was long before Title IX that women don't get involved in athletics. And I had to kind of push my way around and, you know, just, so I grew up with four brothers and I think I just acted like one of the boys and, you know, but yeah, I think the community of seeing women involved in sports nowadays is quite motivating to me.
Very good. And then Rhea, do you want to add anything to that? Like,
yeah, like for me, especially during COVID where I can't get together with my friends and go for walks or go to a spin class. One of my dearest friends, her and I have been our check-in partners. Where we're
accountability.
Like, what'd you do today? Yeah, what'd you do? What did you do? I did this, you did this. And we are constantly cheerleading each other on, even if it's like, oh my gosh, I ate chocolate today. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You know, just having that, especially during this time right now, has been really helpful, especially on those days where I'm like, I don't want to do anything. And I get a check-in from her telling me she just did it. And I'm like, I got to go do it. I have to check in.
A little healthy competition.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jan. Looks like you want to add something too.
Well, yes. Just in this weird COVID time, and we moved, we know no one other than my family. And so the only people that we have met are people on Zoom in my exercise classes, the ones from Maine, my group from Maine, and then I have the California contingency. And so these pretty much are our lifeline to sanity.
And thank goodness for Zoom, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Can you imagine not having that community, not having that connection?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
Thank God for the internet. I mean, really, things would be very different if this occurred, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah. 10, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you girls this one. How important is it to create time away from your kids? A life away from raising kids?
For me, not at all. I treasure every minute I see them now.
I'd agree with Jan. I didn't want my kids. I mean, I was just such a mess when my older daughter, I took her to college. She went to college in the East and she was fine. I was horrible. You know, I love having my kids around me. I love doing things with them.
So deep in our hearts, right? Yep. I totally relate to that. What about you, Rhea?
I'm not ready for that. Like, I know you stay right here. You want to come sleep in my bed in the middle of the night? No problems. I don't have a problem with it because I know there's going to come a time where they're not going to snuggle like that. So yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not, they can stay in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy every stage, you know, having raised three kids. I've raised two and I'm almost got one to college now for the third, but I think even, you know, people say, oh, the teen years are so tough. They are. I'm not going to lie. Your child is going through hormonal changes. They're not this cute little girl you dress up anymore. But I embrace and I have to find humor. And I love every stage because I know this is just a stage. I love every stage. And I'm like, Jan, when my boys come over, everything stops for them. Because time is so valuable, and with the COVID and the quarantine, even more so. I just, the smiles and the joy of just the simple things of being back with your families is so important. All right. Next, I want to ask you girls, we're going to play a game. And this is called, you know, you're a mom when. Okay. You know you're a mom when. So put your brain thinking there. I'll give you a couple examples. You know you're a mom when you have a collection of cards, locks of hair, tons of photos. I have boxes in my garage still of photos from the boys and then all the stuff when Belle was little. And then another one is, I said this earlier, but Jan, I thought of you. You know you're a grandma when you send your personal trainer a message and say, I'm skipping workout to be with my grandkids. So you know you're a grandma when. So let's go to Pam. You know you're a mom when. And it can be adult kids. It can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, I could say a million different things. Like, never minded changing a diaper of my own children. But I guess really now when I see my phone ring, it's always on my desk at work, and it's one of my girls, I jump to pick it up.
Yeah.
Just out of, you know, worry, I guess.
Yeah.
What they need, you know, and I think that's probably.
So, you know, you're a mom when you jump, when you see your child come up on your phone, right?
Yeah.
You know, your mom when you get excited when they call you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it could be, you know, you're not expecting the call, I guess. And it can be a little bit of a, oh boy.
Yeah.
But I always, you know, answer it immediately. So
yeah,
I think that's probably, you know, your mom when you're well into your 60s, they're adult children and they call you.
Aw. How about you, Rhea? You know you're a mom when?
This might not sound like when they vomit on you and you're not even fazed by it. You're like, fine, don't worry. We're fine. Keep throwing up on me. It's all good. All good. You're okay. Doesn't even faze me. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. How about you, Jan? You know you're a grandma or
this
a mom.
This is terrible. Well, the mom part was, this was back in the day before throw away diapers, and we had cloth diapers, and you know you're a mom when you're rinsing out poopy diapers in the toilet all day long.
You know you're...
That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, you don't think of that when you dive into motherhood.
It's a rude awakening. A rude awakening. They got it easy now. You got it easy now, Rhea.
Exactly. Those are great, you guys. Can anybody think of any more that you'd like to add to our game? You know you're a mom when?
You know you're a mom when.
Mom when you're like very proud of their accomplishments.
Yes. Yeah. Proud?
Proud.
Mm-hmm. I you know, keep their
well,
teeth.
When your kids come up and give you a big old hug, that's kind of the best thing ever.
Yeah.
You melt. You sort of melt, don't you, Jim?
Yep. You guys will make me get my tissues here. Go ahead, Rhea. You know you're a mom when you're thinking of another one.
I save their teeth when they fall out. Like, I have a very special little jar that I'm going to give them. Like, here's your teeth when you grow up.
Yeah.
Or I have a book that I'm having all their teachers from the time they were in kindergarten to when they graduate and having them sign it. It's a Dr. Seuss book, The Places You Will Go. So it's creating memories for them that they don't know is coming yet.
Yeah, love that. Anything else? Can anybody want to add anything else? Okay, motherhood is fraught with challenges, and not the absence of challenge that makes us great mothers, but it's how we handle those challenges, right? And I know as a mother, I have experienced judgment, and judgment can come from your own family. It can come from society. It can come from social media. What would you say to another mother who is letting other mothers judging her get to her? Like, how would you guys give advice? How did you handle judgment as a mother? And you all know, preschool on up, this mom sent her kid with this, and you know what I'm talking about, right? Judgment. So who wants to go first on that one?
I'll go.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in the mix of it because you see it and I hear it. I would tell them nobody knows your house like you.
Good.
Somebody
good
might
advice.
Get a snippet of what's going on, but only you know how I handled it. It's saying to myself, like, they're not in my house. They're seeing right. a snippet and good. A lot of breathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. painful.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. Anybody else? Jan, are you okay, Rhea?
Yeah.
I never...
I love your heartfelt expression there. Oh my gosh. Judgment is... This society is becoming so judgmental, right? And we're raising our kids in this. And it's you have to have some sort of defense, right? You have to have some sort of mindset of how you're going to handle when your kid comes home and tells you, you know, this parent said that or this. So, Jan, let's hear your wisdom. How did you handle that?
I'm trying to think back. That was like 40 years ago. I've repressed the whole thing.
Yeah. That's okay. That's healthy.
I really, I cannot think that that was ever much of an issue. I think it's more of an issue nowadays.
Oh.
Than it was then.
Maybe so. That's what I'm kind of wondering, getting yeah. at here. Yeah.
That I'm sure people did, but they didn't confront you.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe people were a little bit more polite back in the day.
Maybe, huh? What about you, Pam? Mm-hmm. And I know you have daughters, and you and I have talked about the competition and the judgment. Rhea, just wait. I'm not trying to scare you, but it was a rude awakening having two sons versus a daughter. I don't know. So if you guys are listening and you have any input to our girls being judged a little more harsh than boys, is the competition, you know, different for girls than boys? I just know raising two boys and raising a girl, I did notice some difference.
Yeah.
What about you, Pam?
Well, I can think of two very sort of powerful remembrances that I've had with, especially with my older daughter. She really kind of was going through it at middle school. She made a very purposeful decision to pursue her athletic career. And she had a bunch of friends that said, "We're no longer going to be friends with you because you can't hang out with us on the weekends." And you know, I could tell that was hard, you know, middle school, seventh, eighth graders. And I think both my daughter, myself, and her dad just encouraged her to do what she felt she was driven to do and not let those influences or people, you know, sway her to do something she didn't want to do. That was one. And then when she got to, she's a very studious student, very much like Belle. And she, again, her ski racing career was super important, but also her academics. She had very lofty goals as to what college she wanted to go to, etc. And she had a teacher, her freshman year, she's doing really well in biology. And her ski racing career caused her to be forced into a different type of education path. And the biology teacher essentially said to her, "You make that decision, you leave here, nobody's going to help you, you're making the worst decision of your academic career." And I think to this day, that
right.
is
right. Jan just did a like to her head.
That
like,
is
oh
one
my
of
gosh.
The reasons why she. One, that was part of the reason she's been so driven in her career.
Strong, raising strong. She's a strong woman, I'm sure.
Oh, well, she works in a very heavily male-dominated world, so she's very, very strong. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. She didn't get a lot of that from me. I think she got a lot of it from her father, too.
Wow.
But yeah, she's,
Well, you know what Dr. Phil says, the most influential parent of the two is the one who's the same sex. Mm-hmm. Mothers have more influence over daughters because that's who they role model after, not taking anything away from dads. And then boys tend to, their role models are their fathers, because I'm not a father, I'm a mother, mm-hmm. vice versa. What do mm-hmm. you guys think of that?
I think there's some truth in that, but I think it, you know, phases in and out depending on the situation in a daughter's world. I mean, I think my older daughter, Jordy's gained a lot of strength from her father. Basically, he was very supportive of her and her career path, and basically always told her not to let boys
I love
stop
it.
Her from doing what she wants to do.
Good advice, Dad. I love that. Love mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a t-shirt that he made for her, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but something to the effect of, and I, Rhea, I hope you're not a mother. I mean, I'm not, it's just giving the girls support, essentially, but if you're a mother of boys, I don't know, but something to the effect of, you know, don't let boys make you cry kind of thing. I can't remember exactly.
Well, I love that. But good advice anyway. For dad and daughters. I love that. What about you, Rhea? What do you think of that?
Well, I have a boy and a girl, and it's definitely night and day raising them. My son is 4, my daughter's 7. I see some things where my husband is the role model, and then there's other things even for my son where I become a role model for him, where it is just learning things that maybe back in the day boys didn't do. And I'm like, oh, no. Boys can do anything. Girls can do anything. And really letting them both understand that. Something my parents used to say to us in thinking of girls is that my parents used to say, boys will come later. And I have 2 older sisters. Don't worry about boys. They will come later. Get an education. And education will take you further than you can possibly imagine. And not that you have to do it, but they're like, get an education. Don't worry about the boys. That was their real big thing on all 3 of my sisters and I. It's like, don't worry about them. They come and go. When the right one comes, he'll stick around.
Yes, I like that. Jan, do you want to add anything to that topic?
Not very much. No, I'm male partial. I had 2 boys, and I have 4 grandsons, so I'm the only female queen, and other than my daughter-in-laws, of course. And so I'm loving that role.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so here's one of our last questions, and then we'll start to wind up today. Now, put a little thought into this, because I know you're all going to say time with our kids is our gift, right? That really is our gift for Mother's Day. But I want you to think about, what was your best Mother's Day gift that stands out in a memory? And it could be something that the family created for you. I'll share one really quick here in a second. You know, as far as one of the ones that, I don't know why, it just stands out in my head as a Mother's Day. And then what recommendations would you give someone out there who's shopping for mom this weekend? And what kind of gifts and things or activities? No, we're coming out of quarantine. I posted today that I hear there's a flower shortage. And you know what? If your mom's far off, I know Pam doesn't live near her mom, you could send her dinner from a mom and pop restaurant and support small business. Because with Grubhub and all these things, you could pick the phone up and boom, it's there. My sister sadly just lost her husband, and I put together a thing for the family to send her meals. And I actually got a list of all their favorite restaurants in their town. And each one of us far away in the family bought meals at their, because isn't that the best to get the food you love, Pam, delivered? Like, you know, you like that certain acai bowl at whatever, and then boom, it's on your porch. So those are some suggestions that I gave this morning on my Instagram. But So if you guys have some suggestions that you can think of, and again, thinking of your best Mother's Day or gift, and don't let your kids get upset that it was your best, but one of the ones that stands out in your head. And I'll just share mine really quick. I was working at Snow Creek teaching yoga. I used to have these packed out classes, and my son, my oldest son, was in college down in San Diego, and he came home his first year. It was Mother's Day. He surprised me. He walked into the yoga class at the end and had a big bouquet of flowers, and just he was beaming and I was beaming. And I just remember because it's a long drive from San Diego to Mammoth. So he drove all the way up to surprise me on Mother's Day. But I just remember that as very special. So who wants to go first on a memory of a Mother's Day gift or event?
Not a Mother's Day gift, but a gift that my sons did that made me cry, which is very unusual, was when we moved out of Mammoth, they went and made a photo album of every single spot in Mammoth that we treasured. Mm-hmm. Richard was a fire dispatcher, Roberto's, the Mogul, every place we went, and made this wonderful album.
I love it.
That I sit and on a quiet day, we'll still go through the hundreds of pictures of our Christmases together and whatever. And it's probably the best gift I've ever had. And so if somebody's thinking of a gift, that to me can't be beat.
Your boys are amazing, Jan. I love that. That gave me goosebumps. How about you, Pam?
Can I say my 60th birthday instead of Mother's Day?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Was a trip to Hawaii with Amy and her husband for 10 days. I mean, I think that was pretty special in that they wanted to spend that amount of time with me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, I was stoked by that. But I also think back on, I love the school.
Yes.
Handmade Mother's Day cards.
Oh, and love
it's so fun to look back and read what your kids wrote to you.
The palm, the handprint in the clay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, I think all of those are always special.
Always. Rhea, yeah. Do you have a memory or a...
Oh, I'm like, and you're talking about those gifts. I have like two little pillows that have their handprints. And an umbrella, like I, all these little things right now are so amazing. But honestly, my very first Mother's Day when my daughter was born, like that first Mother's Day for me, just having her, I had two miscarriages before her. So it was like she was like my little miracle.
Aww.
So that first Mother's Day will still always be priceless.
Special. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I love those stories. So recommendations. I like Jan's recommendation for the book. So Pam's recommending, yeah, Take Your Mom to Hawaii. I'm in for that one.
I mean, you can go places where for me, it was always just having long conversations with my mom. Like, just pick up the phone and don't have a set limit of just a quick call. Like, really sit and just talk to her for like hours. And so that's precious. What I do with my mom on Mother's Day. It's just, I could talk to her for like 2-3 hours or let's get off. I'm like, no, yeah. I'm good. Keep talking. Just keep talking.
So good. Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate all of you coming on today. And I will tell you, I have turned to all three of you for advice. And I hope that you, as a community of women, that you seek out community, you seek out wisdom and advice. And it's never too late to learn something new. And motherhood is such an adventure. I honestly am so excited to have grandkids. Oh, I know my kids are listening to this, but I am looking forward to having grandkids someday. And I'm pretty sure my odds are good out of three kids, I'm going to get some grandkids somewhere. So I enjoy hearing Jan's stories. You guys just touched my heart with your stories for being open and honest and sharing. And I know our listeners out there are going to be super inspired by this episode, this podcast. So again, thank you so much for joining. And for now, My Trainer Live, until we see you again, namaste and see you soon. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode. Don't you just love Jan and Pam and Rhea? I'm going to put Rhea's contact information down below in the show notes. You can reach her on Instagram _Rhea_Z. Go over there and say hi to her. If you have any questions or comments, please email me. Take a second today and leave a comment, a rating, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. If there's a topic you'd like me to discuss, make sure you email it to me and I'll happily cover it. Bye for now.